This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Russian Orthodox Church has already begun its Slavic celebrations in Bethel, when members and non-members go door-to-door singing and feasting to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The celebration lasts a week and combines Yupik and Orthodox traditions. Today, the feasting and singing will begin at 5 p.m. at the Bautista House. For more information, visit the Facebook page of the St. Sophia Orthodox Christian Church in Bethel. And the city of Bethel has another batch of finalists to review for the city manager position. The Bethel City Council will meet on Thursday to interview the latest candidates turned up by an executive search firm. Last October, the council interviewed and then rejected two city manager candidates after finding allegations of inappropriate behavior in their past. The search firm, GovHR, found another batch. One of the candidates is Vincent Corazza. He currently works as city engineer for Temple Terrace, a city in Florida with a population of 26,000. He also served a year as city administrator for New Ixit, an Alaska Native village on the North Slope with a population of 423. Corazza has over two decades of experience in municipal government. And Roger Leonard, another finalist, is a principal executive at a large planning firm in Virginia. He has decades of experience in senior management and working with municipalities. Leonard has also served as a director for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And to round out the finalists, there's Cynthia Northup. Northup is the assistant executive director of a community planning firm in Dayton, Texas. She has experience in local government at both the city level and the county level. Northup has served as assistant city manager in Alvin, Texas, population 26,000, and as a Denton County commissioner in Texas. Bethel residents are welcome to attend the interviews and potentially meet the next Bethel City Manager. Interviews are scheduled for this Thursday at 6 p.m. inside City Hall. And across the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, temperatures have been reaching below zero, freezing pipes in homes. And what that means for many people is a return to the way life was before running water and flushing toilets. KYUK's Greg Kim talked to one Bethel resident who is willing to say that she is now relearning how to use a honey bucket.
In her home in Bethel, Renee Gregory is snaking a metal auger down her toilet. She's been working every day for the past week to free up her drain since her house froze up and temperatures reaching almost negative 50 degrees with wind chill.
So this is my bathtub.
Could you describe the color that we're looking at here?
It looks like oily coffee.
Renee's bathtub is full of brown liquid. That's because before Renee realized her drainage pipes were frozen, she was using the sink, running the dishwasher, flushing the toilet.
If you flush the toilet, it just drains into the bathtub. It's pretty gross.
So Renee has to bail out the brown water from her bathtub, bucket by bucket.
And then carry it outside to my septic, dump it in, come back, do it again. And again, and again, and again.
Now that she can't use her toilet, Renee has had to come up with other ways to go to the bathroom.
I was driving all the way across town to my office to use the bathroom. Until very recently, where I have broken down and I am now using a honey pot.
Is this the first time you've ever used a honey bucket?
No, I grew up with a honey bucket, and I just don't have fond memories. When I was a kid, that was my least favorite chore.
Renee has tried everything to clear her drains. She's added heat tape and insulation around the pipes. She's poured hot water down the drains, rock salt, vinegar, and baking soda.
And it hasn't drained, not even a little bit. So I just sat down on my chair and cried for a little while because I just feel so defeated.
Renee's not the only one at the mercy of the cold temperatures. All around the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, people are dealing with the effects of extreme cold. Households in the community of Lower Kalskag just got running water installed in the last few months, and Mayor Walter Morgan says some of them haven't yet learned how to maintain pipes in the winter.
They've been people, you know, newly hooked up. I know that they're still froze. You know, I told them to turn on their switches.
Walter says the water pipe installations came with heat tape and circulators to keep the water moving. But Walter says people didn't use them.
You know, they thought they'd use a lot a lot of electricity, so they didn't plug it in.
And Walter says once the pipes are completely frozen, heat tape won't thaw out your pipes.
We got to put up with the cold weather.
So he says people just go back to packing water from the water plant and using honey buckets, like they did before piped water and sewer. In the eroding village of Newtok, Tribal Administrator Andrew John, for the most part, hasn't had to deal with pipes freezing up.
Technically, we don't have any pipes because we have no running water.
But the village health clinic, one of the buildings that does have running water, has been at the risk of freezing up. So they chartered a flight to get an emergency shipment of fuel to keep the building warm.
Daily life out here in remote Alaska is not easy.
Andrew doesn't seem fazed. He says his community and all the communities in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta are used to dealing with the challenges of winter. But in Kweefluk, city manager Boris Epchuk says the past two-week stretch of temperatures consistently far below zero is something new. Kweefluk reports 9 to 10 houses and 3 businesses had pipes that froze or burst.
We had problems last year, but the magnitude wasn't this big.
Alaska climate specialist Rick Toman seems to agree.
It's quite abnormal, and certainly at this point, the duration of the cold, the duration is certainly significant.
Toman said the recent cold snap starting 2 weeks ago ranks as the 7th coldest stretch on record in Bethel for that time frame. However, the forecast now says temperatures will jump up 50 degrees later this week. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
And finally, Donlin Gold received a handful of state permits at the beginning of this month that moved the company closer to operating its gold mine in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. The permits will allow Donlin to build an airstrip, install fiber optic cables, and build access roads for its mine, which could be one of the biggest in the world if completed. The company needs more than 100 permits before it can build and operate its mine. It already received 2 major federal permits and state permits in the last 2 years. Separately, Department of Natural Resources Commissioner Corey Fagey denied an appeal from Donlin opponents over the agency's approval of Donlin's reclamation plans. Those seeking to appeal that denial must go through the court system within the next 30 days. But Donlin Gold still faces hurdles. The state is reviewing its application for a right-of-way to build a 315-mile gas pipeline for its operations, and Donlin is currently working on its dam safety certification. That can take as long as 2 years. This is KYUK. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukden News coming up.